Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. All right, I don't know if everybody knows or not. Brother Allen would be here tonight except for he got his thumb caught in a saw today, so he's at the emergency room or at the emergency center down here, so y'all be praying for him. We'll be having prayer here in a little bit, but we'll especially remember that. And I think it just got the tip off of his thumb, messed up the bone somewhat, kind of shattered the bone a little bit on the end of his thumb. And so we'll be keeping him in mind as we go to prayer here in just a little bit. So let's look in Romans chapter 8. I appreciate your prayers. I think more than one of you come to me after church Sunday night and said you'd be praying for me. And the difference between Sunday and Monday was out of this world. I felt so good on Monday. I was hoping maybe we could come over here and meet again and do Sunday all over. But at any rate, I don't have to be sick to feel that way sometimes. Most of the time on Monday, I'm thinking, my goodness, what wouldn't I give to have Monday over and preach those, or have Sunday over and preach those messages all over again. I'd take this part out and maybe say something a little clearer, a little better. But at any rate, you only get one chance at each day, and so we'll leave it in God's hands. But I am thankful to be feeling better, and I appreciate your prayers. If you did pray, I appreciate it. And man, how good it is to be able to pray and ask God for our needs, and he'll meet all of our needs. The Bible says that he'll meet all of our needs, amen? And so he's certainly proven himself to be real and true in every aspect concerning my needs. He's a good God, has been a good God, and I trust that he will be a good God. Amen. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look and have a little Bible study tonight. We're going to start reading in verse number 28. Well, since we talked about prayer a little bit already, let's start in verse 26, and we'll get down about verse 29 or 30 or something like that, and go over a few things here tonight. We'll also be in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to talk about predestination a little bit tonight, but we're not going to talk too much about Calvinism. When you're teaching on Bible things, you really don't have to spend too much time teaching against what's wrong with, you know, what Calvinists believe in this. You might have to touch on a little bit. We might touch on a little bit tonight. But I'd rather just preach the truth of predestination. I'm not too much interested in what predestination don't mean. I'm interested in what predestination do mean. Amen? All right, so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll pick up reading here in verse number 26. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for how merciful you've been to us. Lord, I thank you, God, that you allowed us to live another day. Lord, before we get started here, we do ask you, God, to be with Pastor Ryman, that you'd help him, that you'd strengthen him, God, that you'd heal him up. I pray you'd give him doctor's wisdom that's looking at him and help him to help him make the right decisions, God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd just be with him and comfort him at this time. To some people, it might be a big deal. And some people, it might not be a big deal. But I would say to Brother Allen, it's a big deal. And no doubt in my mind, as I think about it, he probably tried to shrug it off and probably even tried to pretend it was just a scratch. But I know in his heart of hearts, he knows that thing's going to cause him a little trouble over the next few days. So I pray not only you'd touch his body, but you'd help him in his mind and in his heart and steady him. And I'll thank you, God, for what you do there. We thank you for our preacher. We thank you for our pastor. And, Lord, we pray that you'd help him. And, Lord, stand him up for a long time to come. Well, thank you, God, for all that you do there. Be with Miss Linda. She's over there with him, no doubt. She's worried about him. She's probably more worried about him than he is himself, but I do pray, God, that you'd help them and strengthen them. And we think about Josh and Kylie. Lord, we pray that you'd continue to be with them and help them. I hadn't heard any news from them today, and I suppose no news is good news. And we thank you, God, for that little baby being born. And Lord, I thank you now for all these folks that have come in here tonight. Lord, they've all got needs. They've got desires. They've got problems. They've got necessities, God. They've got no doubt some kind of anxiety, but Lord, I pray that you'd help them to cast their cares upon you tonight. We'll take up some prayer requests here in a little bit, but I thank you, God, for these folks being here. And oftentimes on Wednesday night, we could complain about those that are not here, but Lord, we simply thank you for the ones that are here tonight. I pray that you'd help them, I pray that you'd establish them and strengthen them. And we'll thank you and praise you, God, for everything that you have done already and for all that you will do. We thank you and praise you. And we pray, God, that you'd help us through your word tonight, that you'd magnify your word, that you'd help me to teach your word. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Forgive me of my foolishnesses, God. And I pray that you would help me, Lord, to speak the truth for just a little bit. Help me to say what it is you want me to say. Help me to say it well. And then, Lord, help me to be silent and let you do that strange work that you do in the hearts of men. God, I trust you to do that work. And, Lord, I trust you, Lord, that you can use your word to be more effective in the hearts of men than I'll ever be able to. And, Lord, I just commit that to you tonight. I ask you to help and strengthen. In Jesus Christ's name, we ask these things. Amen. Amen. All right, verse number 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities. Oh, I wish more people knew that. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. He says, the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities. Well, so much for Dr. Spock. Amen. So much for the New Age Christian counselors. Yeah. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. Maybe you don't have problems like I have problems. But the problems that I have, I don't really want to tell nobody else about. Amen. Amen. But I'm glad the Spirit, God knows, and I'm glad that the Spirit helpeth with our infirmities. Man, infirm, that firm, the word is kind of self-explanatory. Infirm. It's our instabilities, the places that we have, maybe it's in our hearts, our minds, our mouths, whatever it is about us that's not stable. It's soft, easily broken. The Bible says the Spirit helps with those things. Maybe it is your mind. Maybe it is that you got too much anxiety. Maybe you do got what they call depression. I don't like to call it, I call it depression sometimes because people understand it that way. But I think, I read one time in a medical book of some, maybe I was at a doctor's office or something like that. And I was reading about depression, and they had a whole list of symptoms of depression. And boy, I've been in church since 1975. Every one of them symptoms sound like conviction of the Holy Spirit to me. Could be. Could be. Well, I think I'd cast all my cares upon him if I was you. Why, Brother Mike? Why? I mean, why can't I go get counsel? Well, you can go get counsel. You can ask people questions. I understand all that. But it's the Spirit that helps with our infirmities. Well, the Spirit might use old so-and-so. The Spirit might use old so-and-so. But the Spirit is not only going to use old so-and-so, but he indwells you and you. Amen? He indwells you. If you're born again, he indwells you. He identifies with you. He speaks with you. And you sing the hymn, he walks with me and he talks with me. Does he? Does he? Well, what do you think he's talking about? NBA? LeBron James? I guarantee you LeBron James wouldn't come up in a conversation if he was to have a 300,000-year conversation with the Lord nonstop. He probably wouldn't mention LeBron James one time or Michael Jackson. Amen? Well, he walks with me and talks with me. What's he talking to you about? I find that some people can't get help because they don't want the answers that they're given when they do get help. Amen? You preach a sermon, then the person that gets hit usually comes right to you. Well, I don't agree with that. Well, obviously, that's your problem. Well, I'm not just saying just because you disagree with the preacher or a certain preacher or even me. What I'm trying to tell you is people don't generally get stirred up about things that don't mean much in their life. Amen? I said something a couple weeks ago, and it probably rubbed some folks the wrong way. I said I didn't care nothing about Santa Claus and stuff like that. That stuff doesn't bother me a bit. You know what? You know, I'm not going to spend 2 minutes preaching against Santa Claus. You know why? Because he ain't real. Easter bunny's not real. Of course, I thought I was the Easter bunny growing up. I've got the worst luck with names you ever seen in your life. I was born Michael Eugene Underwood. And up till I was getting just about through kindergarten, I got underwear. That was my, hey, here comes underwear. Kids are cruel. Did you know that? Then my stepdad adopted me and changed my name to Easter, and it's been Easter Bunny ever since. I'm 50 stinking years old, and I still get Easter Bunny jokes and junk like that. That's ridiculous, isn't it? Grown-ups are cruel also, just so you know. But at any rate, people get upset because that's really what's bothering you, and the preacher says something about it, and it bothers you more. And maybe if you can argue with the preacher and convince him to take your side, I suppose you think you and the preacher against the Holy Ghost is a majority, but it ain't. You get 500,000 preachers to agree with you and pat you on the back. If God don't agree with you, then you're still outnumbered. Amen. Amen. At any rate, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, spiritual people. Paul, a pretty good spiritual man, I would say, but he added himself in there, we know not. If Paul was having trouble knowing what he ought to pray about, boy, I'd say that prayer is something to really put a lot of thought into and really put a lot of emphasis on. And when you talk about something that we don't know, then you've got to, at some point in time, if we don't know what to pray for, Brother Mike, at some point in time to resolve that thing and actually pray for something, well, I think I'll pray for this. No, the Bible says we don't know what we... Well, if you're going to ever get busy praying, then you're going to have to come to the point where it's not my will, but thy will be done. And then that's the kind of stuff that you can start praying about. Because evidently the stuff we think ought to be prayed about isn't as high up on the list, maybe, as the things that God thinks about. Now, I know that God cares about our clothing. He cares about our shelter. He cares about all those things. I understand that with all my heart. But, boy, when you're dealing with getting yourself fixed, our infirmities. Now, if you could fix it, it would probably already be fixed. This is the self-help generation. Is it not? This is the self generation. Self, 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 me, 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 me. Amen. Amen. I had to quit going down there to that church. They just didn't have nothing for me. Well, get out. Send us a postcard. You're not going to get no help with that kind of me, self-esteem, self, 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 self. Build it. You build yourself up in the Holy Spirit. You build yourself up in the Word. This holy Word. And I would just emphasize that holy Word part because you're going to build yourself up in a Word that means more than your opinion. A lot of people talk about the Bible, the Bible, the Bible. What about the Holy Bible? You know that means something? It's a holy Bible. A lot of people use a Bible. A lot of people believe a Bible. But the only problem is they believe the thing that agrees with them. Me, 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 me. Me, 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 me. Well, the only thing about you is you better get in line with him, 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 him. Amen. Like my old preacher used to say, hound, 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 hound. That's what you are. Amen. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth with our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts, that's God, knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. The Spirit knows what you need, and God and the Spirit that indwells you. You say, well, I thought they was all the same. They is the same. But they got different purposes. This study we're going to do tonight, look down at verse 28, the last word. You see that word? It's a big word, purpose. We're going to turn to Ephesians here in a minute, and you're going to see that word again. Purpose, 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 purpose. That's what some of you need. When you was lost, you had a purpose. I don't know if it was drinking or what it was. I don't know what it was. Carousing, I don't know what your purpose was. Maybe it was money. But the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Right? Well, you got a new purpose. And some of that reason you're up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down is because you hadn't found your purpose. Hadn't found your calling. It's easy to find your calling. Preacher, I wish I could find that mysterious calling for my life. You ain't got no mysterious calling for your life. Just get in the book of Romans. You'll run into a calling before you get 100 words in. You're all the called. You think he's going to say you're all the called, not tell you what it is? Amen. I think I'm called to preach. You might start with peace first. The Bible calls to peace. Some of you ain't got no peace yet. I know preachers that don't have no peace. They're called to peace. The Bible told them plainly they was called to peace, but they ain't got the peace yet, but they're preachers. Amen. Amen. What a wonderful book we have here. Amen. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession. Now, isn't that comforting? Now, we've said a few things. Isn't it comforting that he knows, that God knows exactly what it is you need? God's searching the mind of the Spirit, and the Spirit knows exactly what you need, and the Spirit's making intercession for you, and God's already got the goods. He already knows exactly what you need. Amen. You know, God knows the sermon you need Sunday morning, and he's already got it stirring. Amen. He knows that. He knows what you need. He knows what you need tomorrow. And I would say, as soon as you get up in the morning, if you'd be real attentive to God's will and God's direction, he'll let you know right away. He's not going to wait till 9:30 tomorrow night to start telling you what to do. Amen. It never fails that I've asked the Lord, Brother Mike, hey, Lord, show me what you want me to do today. Never fails. He'll say, there's one right there. Here's something right here. Never fails. You say, how do you know it's the Lord? Because when I don't ask, he don't tell. Yep. Amen. You say, well, I think he tells us sometimes. Maybe he does, but I wasn't listening. You know why I didn't pray and ask him for his direction? Because I wasn't intending to listen that day. Yep. Well, I don't think you should be preaching then. Well, get over it. I'm already doing it. Amen? Well, I tell you what, we all that way. I don't care what kind of preacher you are, what kind of rank you've got in society, what kind of deacon you are. You're going to have days where you just don't give a flip what God's will is for you. Oh, not me, Brother Mike. 100% every day. Yeah, okay. How about dying on the cross for me next time I get into sin, would you? Amen. Yeah, there's not a man on this earth that's completely subjected. That's that lordship salvation, but that's not what we're talking about tonight. The Lord knows what you need, and the Lord got it all planned out. If you submit yourself to him, he'll help you. What does it say? Because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the what? Well, there it is. That's what I was talking about. Verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Now we're talking about predestination. What is predestination? Well, this is one of the few places we could find out, because predestination not on every page of your Bible. It shows up very few times. Very, very, very few times. And so the big argument is Calvinism versus Arminianism. I got news for you. Most Baptists, whether they believe in Calvinism or don't, they'll read Calvin and they'll read Luther and they'll read different folks like that, but the argument is Calvinism versus Arminianism. Well, I've got Arminius' complete works. As far as I've got so far, it looks like he's a Calvinist too. I'm beginning to wonder if some of these Calvinist preachers that keep calling you that are not Calvinists, Arminians, I'm beginning to wonder if they're just doing that because they heard somebody else doing it, which I wouldn't doubt that, because a lot of you Baptists, you believe what you believe because somebody else said that that's the way it was. But at any rate, I got the idea that MacArthur and the rest of these guys that keep calling you Arminians is because he heard somebody else say that's what Arminians are and what Arminius believed and all kinds of stuff like that. But I've been reading him for a good while now. The book's about that thick. God help me, I'll probably never get through it, and I don't even care. But from what I've read so far, he's a Calvinist too. So what difference does that make? And what difference does it make putting a label on this or that? The only thing I care about is the Bible says something about predestination. I want to find out what it is. So I guess as far as the world is concerned and as religion is concerned, we want to find out, are we predestinated to be saved? And so my response to that would be, find me a verse that says anything about being predestinated to be saved. Is that what this verse I just read said? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be saved? No, sir. Now, what this passage actually says puts to silence anybody who wants to argue with you, and I recommend you don't argue about it. It's my firm and solemn belief that most people, not everybody, some people can be rescued from false doctrine, but it's the Bible says there's false beliefs and there's false believers among you so that you'll be able to make a difference and put a difference between you and tell the difference between believers and unbelievers. And it seems like to me that some folks just caught up in something crazy like the charismatic movement. I recognize, and I've seen some people come out of the charismatic movement and say, oh, thank God. Thank God. I saw the truth and they was delivered. The Bible said those that are clean escape from them that live in error. Some people really saved, caught up in false doctrines. But I believe the great majority of folks caught up in false doctrines are caught up in false doctrines because they didn't believe the truth when they heard it. Amen. And God let them get caught up in something like that. If you don't believe God to do something like that, Proverbs chapter 1, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, just read some of those verses and see if God won't do some things like that. Amen. So I don't get too caught up with it. I'll preach the truth and let people come out if they want to. But at any rate, he says this, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. If you do get in an argument about this thing, say, well, let me ask you a question. You predestinated? The Calvinists will say, yes, sir, I am predestinated. Then you say, are you conformed to the image of his son? I ask you, King James Bible believing Baptist here tonight, are you conformed to the image of his son? You better shake your head no, because you ain't. But you will be. You keep on reading through Romans chapter 8 here, and it'll be talking to you pretty soon about the adoption. And it explains to you that the adoption is when God turns this vile body and into something like his glorious body. It's the redemption of the body, the chapter says. The adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. So the idea of predestination in the Bible, we'll turn over to Ephesians chapter 1 in just a minute. But he says, whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. I don't know about you, but to me, just getting older every minute, it seems like, I'm thankful that one day God is going to change my body to be like his glorious body. Amen. But listen, it's not just something I believe. It's not just something I think after reviewing the scripture from time to time. I believe it because the Bible says I'm predestinated to be conformed to the image, amen, of his son. Now, it's not only that, it's not just me, though. And a lot of times we get me, 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 me. I like this. Let me point this out to you. I like the way, look in verse 28. And we, notice he don't say I know. Did you know that Paul got to write a great deal of the New Testament, yet he doesn't use the word I very much? Especially when he's talking about doctrinal matters that apply to us all. He likes to use words like we. And when you get over in the epistles of John, he likes to use a lot of words like we and us. You know, and I like to think of it that way too because, you know, the Bible says we as saved people are members in particular of his body. There ain't no me. Now, from time to time, I say, Lord, I pray you'd give me something when I go to church tonight. I want the preacher to preach something that I'm going to get something from. In that sense, I'll pray that way. But boy, I want to come to church and us get something. I want to come to church and the church get motivated. Boy, I know it. There's maybe one or two folks you can come to church and you know. If you preach and you get exactly, you know, in that line of preaching they like, boy, they'll get excited. And you'll have the preacher and one other guy who likes that style. They'll be excited as they can be. And the preacher will be shouting. And that one old fellow will be shouting. And that one old lady will be shouting. And everybody else will be sitting here. But boy, I don't want that. I want the church to get excited. I want the church to get inspired. I want the church to get motivated. I want the church to understand. I want the church. Listen, Paul said, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. And he wasn't talking about you individual. He's talking about the whole church at Rome. For I long to see you. For I long to see you. I don't long for you to see me. He said, I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. To the end, you may be established. I want the church to be established. What good it'd be for me and one other fella to be solid and rooted and grounded and on fire for God, as the expression goes, the rest of the church falling apart. Sometimes preachers find one guy that's going to shout them on. They'll preach what that guy wants to hear. Boy, we had a time. Yeah, the two of you did. Amen. But the church, it's not I'm saved. It's not just me saved. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad we saved. You saved, Brother Joe? Amen. We saved. Amen. Not only that, we. That's what Paul's talking about right here. He said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them. This is a corporate chapter. This is not a chapter about individuals. Amen. It's corporate. You say, who's them? Believers. Believers. Are you a believer? Amen. How would I know if I'm a believer? Well, I'm glad you asked. I have 41 points on that. We won't go through them tonight, but I tell you this, believers believe. They're not skeptics. Now, I have been skeptical a time or two, but over a great amount of years, you hear some people say crazy things. But I tell you this, I want to believe. I want to believe. Brother Jim, when I come to church, I want to hear something. I want to hear truth. I don't care who it is that's preaching. I want to hear something. And when I hear preachers preach that I don't even particularly like, I'll be sitting there thinking, this guy's pretty dumb, but that's true what he just said. I want to find ground. I want to find ground to get a blessing on. Amen. Oh, there's plenty of preachers I don't like, plenty of them, but I pray for them when I go to the Lord in prayer. God, help that fella. Help him. You say, why would you pray that way, Brother Mike? Listen, Brother Joe, there's some preachers that I think are flat-out crooks. Flat-out, self-centered, conceited quacks. But you know what? I believe they're saved. I wouldn't pay much attention to them if I didn't believe they were saved. When I come in here and pray, when I pray over at my house, God, help that man. Strengthen that man. God, I want to see that man get as many rewards or more than I'll ever get. I don't want to see somebody stand in front of God with no rewards. I don't want to see a man that, I wouldn't want to see a man stand before God that you thought was a great man. Maybe you didn't see what I saw. I wouldn't want you to say, well, that guy was a, I wouldn't want you to see that. Wouldn't want nobody to be embarrassed like that. You say, why? Because he's saved like I'm saved. Boy, I'd hate for God to put on display some of my foolishness and failures and faults. I go to God and ask God to forgive me on a regular basis, don't you? Well, man, boy, I want God to have mercy on you too, and Brother Ken too, and any other preacher, any other person in the world. You say, why? Because we are saved, and we are, I'm a certain, listen, if you're sitting here with a testimony of salvation tonight, I'm as certain as the sun will rise tomorrow, if there is a tomorrow, I'm as certain as there are stars in the sky tonight that you're going to heaven. Amen. Certain of it. Yep. Not once saved, always saved. Who thinks about that? Did I believe with my head or did I believe with my heart? You know who spends time thinking about stuff like that? People whose congregation ain't moved in 6 months and they got to get somebody saved again, try to get some tears flowing and stuff. Believe with your head. Or what's the difference? What is the cotton-picking difference between your head and your heart? Let's cut them out and examine them real close to find out. Amen. Brother Mike, I don't think you understand the heart of hearts. I understand. I've been living with mine 50 years. You think I hadn't discovered that nut before? It's that nut that realized he was lost. It was that nut that says, oh me, I'm a nut, I'm lost, I'm undone, help me, save me. And he saved me. Save me. Amen. Sometimes I sometimes over the course of life, I've wondered if he was saved or not. Amen. Amen. You have too, probably. And it was probably right after somebody preached one of them messages. Did you believe with your head or did you believe with your heart? Hey, I made a confession of faith when I was somewhere in between 4 and 5 years old. Grew up in church. Grew up in a strict church, the strictest church on the planet. Listen, for you folks that are upset with me because I preach on your little play parties, you ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. I grew up in a strict church. Amen. I grew up in a strict church. And boy, when I got out, my mama's house, and I got about 600 miles away from my preacher and started living like the devil, by the time I got back to Mount Airy, North Carolina, thought I was lost. Made another profession of faith. You said, why did you do that? Because Simon Peter, I know I'm getting outside the realm of dispensational truth here, but Simon Peter said, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Went back to the altar, took out my earring. God save me. Oh, I'm sorry. About 3 weeks later, I read over that passage, and I was like, man. Did you renounce? I didn't renounce nothing, man. I didn't renounce nothing. I'm saved. Amen. Amen. You've got to get in the Word of God, get some stability about you. But I'll tell you this. You might be saved and on fire for God, as the quotation goes, or you might be backsliding, but I'm telling you, you better get it straightened out. Whatever your problem is, you better get it straightened out, because you're going. Yep. Yep. It's predestinated. Yep. Whom he did foreknow? Who? Believers like you. Yep. Made a profession in faith because a preacher preached. Yep. A preacher preached. The Bible says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul said, he didn't care if preachers were preaching out of bad intentions because Christ was being preached. Why would he say something like that if he didn't believe that the gospel had power? Listen, we talked about charismatics a while ago. I believe some of these charismatics are probably as lost as they could be. But every once in a while, they'll stand up and say, Jesus died for your sins. I wouldn't have a doubt in my mind that some old lost, tongues-talking, snake-handling, backwoods idiot has said, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. If you'll call on him, he'll save you. And some old backwoods country boy somewhere got down on his knees and said, God, forgive me of my sin, got gloriously saved. Because how can they hear without a preacher? It's the gospel. Listen, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not the preacher. It doesn't say the preacher is the power of God unto salvation. I believe a preacher ought to be red hot, inspired, have the message he's going to preach well digested. I believe he ought to be in touch with God and have the touch of God on him. But I know this, it's the gospel that's the power. That gospel that saved you, Brother Mike, it'll keep you to the day you die and 10 million years besides. Amen. You say, why? God predestinated it. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Are you saved? Ain't no way you can change it. No way. Well, if I willingly walk away and he'll willingly follow you down the street, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. If you were talking about power, if you're talking about God doing things for you or keeping you from some things, you better be close. You better be in fellowship. But a lot of times people get relationship confused with fellowship. They're not the same thing. You say relationship. Me and Brother Joe talk back and forth. We have a good relationship. That ain't what it means. Not what it means. I told you a little bit ago, I was born Michael Eugene Underwood because my daddy's name was Frederick Eugene Underwood. Now, my name is no longer Underwood. It's Easter. I got adopted by my daddy. But there's no way in this world you could change that biological connection between me and my biological father, because we are related. If I'd say, I'm not his boy, draw out my blood and draw out his blood and see what you get. You know what you're going to get? He's going to be my daddy. That's relationship. I didn't talk to him from the time I was 4, from the time I was 3 to the time I was 19 years old. You know what we didn't have? Fellowship. From the time I was 18, 19 years old to the time he died, when he was 40 years old, We had no fellowship. I talked to him one good time in my whole life. You know what that is? Broken fellowship. And people get those things confused. You're related to him. You'll be related to him for all eternity because he shed his blood for you. Amen. He applied your blood. You was born again by his blood and by his spirit. Amen. Amen. The same spirit, the same power that moved on Mary and created the man Christ Jesus moved on your heart, moved on your soul, sealed you and made you into a new creature that never existed before the day you got saved. And that being, that person, that new creature that God came in and made will never cease to exist. Ever, 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 ever. Christ died for you while you was his enemy. Amen. Now you're saved. Look, Romans chapter 5. He died for you while you was ungodly. While you was ungodly, he died for you. Well, now you're saved. It's verse 10. If he died for you while you was ungodly, if he died for you while you was his enemy, what's he going to do now that you're his son? Cast you away? It don't make no sense. Read your Bible. Amen. Put the commentary down. Read the Bible a little bit. Does that make sense to anybody but me? That's what the Bible says. Got a purpose. Now let's look in Ephesians. Oh, I got carried away. I was supposed to be teaching this evening. Verse number 3. Good attitude here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a good attitude to have, isn't it? I wasn't going to say nothing about that, but that just come down from the heaven. Isn't that a good attitude? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, blessed. Have y'all got grandmas? That's all I had when I was growing up was grandmas. I had a great-grandpa. But all my grandpas died when my mama was young, her daddy died. My daddy was young, his daddy died. And that's all I had was grandmas. And I'd go over all by myself, spend the night with grandma. And I'd wake up in the morning, and she'd say, bless your heart, come over here. Sit down today. And she'd make a whole pot of eggs and grits and a big old stack of toast and sausage and bacon. I'm this big and about this big around. You just eat all you want, honey. You know what that is? That's a blessing. She's just trying to be a blessing. Trying to be a blessing. Well, you know what? I don't know. I think I'll tell the rest of that story. You know what happened to that sweet old lady? I used to sit around and just look at her. I marveled at her. I was just a little kid. She was my great-grandmother. Her name was Hall. That was her last name. She was... I was about maybe this big, and she was old, she was anxious. I would look at her, I marveled at her skin. From time to time, I noticed my skin starting to do the same thing, and I'm just 50. One day I said, Grandma, are you a snake? She said, what are you talking about? I said, your skin looks like a snake. She goes, that's because I'm old. No, I don't think I will tell you what happened to her because I want you to remember just like that. Amen. I won't tell you the rest. It's bad. Come to me after church. I might tell you. But you know what we're talking about? We're talking about a blessing. Blessed be. Well, bless me, oh God, and help me. What you mean is make me happy and do things that I like. Make my life easy and comfortable. I don't mind you pray that. I hope God answers it for you. I really do. I have no problem with people having it easy. Man, I wish it for you. I pray if I thought that you would have a perfectly easy rest of your life, I would pray that for you. But I know I'll pray God give you strength when it's not so easy. But that when we talk about being blessed, God not only provides us with great things, but he takes care of us when we do go through hardships. Blessed, we talk about this verse, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he says he's the Father of all comfort, the Father of all mercies and the God of all comfort. That's what being a blessing is. And we want God to be a blessing to us. And we won't hardly join a church unless all the people that go to that church are a blessing to me. Those people just aren't a blessing to me. How about you trying to be a blessing to somebody else? And that's exactly what that verse is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is God happy with me? I have to say a lot of times, sadly, no. You know what I pray, and I'll be honest, God help me. to want to be more of a blessing to God. Because I'll be honest as I can with you, a lot of times I don't want to be a blessing to God half as much as I want Him to be a blessing to me. I'll get away with what I can get away with. I'll pray what I get convicted about. We deserve to go to hell even after we're saved. If you don't know that about yourself, you ain't really tried to be a Christian yet. And if you've tried and you've come to that same pass as me, Romans chapter 7, that which I hate I do, and amen. Oh, then you know what a blessing God is and what a blessing God's been to you. And man, if you could just be a little blessing to Him. And oftentimes, I said a while ago, I hear somebody preach and I say, man, that's true. That's true. Man, that what he's saying is true. And in my heart, I don't even want to get right about the thing. And I'll pray and tell God the truth about that. God, I know what He's saying true. I know what He's saying is true, but I just don't want to get right. Help me to get right. Lord, I want You to hurt me. I don't want You to hurt my family. We naturally think, boy, if I don't get right with God, God's going to kill my family. Well, He might kill you. But at any rate, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Bless Him that's blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us. Us. Remember I said those corporate words. Us. He chose us. He chose who? Believers. Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Having predestinated us unto the adoption. Romans chapter 8 said that adoption of children was the redemption of our body. Amen. That's right there in verse number 13. In whom ye also trusted. Did you trust Him? In whom ye also trusted. Did you trust Him? But were you predestinated before the foundation of the earth? To do what? Predestinated to do what? Be saved? That's not in your Bible. The idea is not in your Bible. It's not there at all. We'll wait while you find it. It's not there. Save you the trouble of looking for it. It's not there. The only kind of predestination there is in the Bible is the kind I've showed you tonight. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth. Did you hear the Bible? I'm a little bit afraid now. Listen, I'm a little bit afraid. I hear people say, I was there at this camp meeting one night and they were singing. And a thought come over me and I began to feel kind of nervous. Well, I'm not saying they couldn't get saved, but I'm a little scared of it. Because the Bible said you trusted Him after that you heard the word of truth. Amen. Let me be even more specific than that, the gospel of your salvation. Amen. Amen. Listen, if I preached a sermon about the second coming, and I talked about the second coming, from the opening verse all the way to the last line of my sermon and didn't mention that Jesus Christ died on the cross to save sinners, I'd be a little bit skeptical if somebody got saved under my own message if they didn't hear nothing about how to be saved. Now, I trust that if they came to the altar and somebody took the Bible and showed them, I trust that. But what I say that, I give you that illustration to say, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. I believe that. I always will believe that. I'm skeptical when people say, you don't have to pray a prayer. All you got to do is just know it and believe it in your heart. But the Bible says, call on Him. You know, your arguments with God, it's not me at that point. I'm going to stick with the calling on Him and the preaching of Him and the gospel and the power. I want the power to be there. Amen. Amen. You heard the word of truth. Did you hear that? Did you hear it? When you got saved, did you hear the truth? He said it was the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the vehicle of predestination right there. That sealing of the Spirit going to take you all the way home. Did you hear the gospel? Did you trust it? Did you call on Him? Did He save you? You're going all the way home. You'll be like the little piggy. You go all the way home. And some of you will do it just that way. Wah, 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 all the way home. But you going wah, wah, wah or not? You say, why? Because God predestinated. It's a pre That means it happened beforehand. Destination. Get to the airport, what's your destination, sir? Well, that's exactly what it's talking about. Words can only mean what they say. It's predestination. Jesus, before the foundation of the world, knew that Adam was going to mess up and that Eve was going to mess up and that every man after him and every woman after him was going to be messed up. And he said, I'm going to find a way to teach these people what sinners are. And he gave them the law. God spent a great deal of time trying to teach hard-headed Israel through the law that they needed the law because they were lawbreakers. They never did figure it out. Jesus showed up. They tried to kill him every chance they got. They hung him on the cross. He shed his blood, and it was revealed to us that that shedding of blood and Israel's rejection was us Gentiles' opportunity to see him through the eye of faith. We never picked up manna off the ground. We never crossed the Red Sea when it was parted. We never crossed the Jordan. I've never seen nobody just lay hands on somebody and make lame legs to walk or blinded eyes to see. I've never seen any of that stuff. But I heard one day, Jesus died on the cross for you. And if you'll put your faith and your trust in him, he'll seal you with this Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what I heard. That's exactly what I believed. That's exactly what I trusted. And that's exactly what he done. He saved my soul. And I've not been perfect. I've not been even half of being perfect. Been faulty. And I've floundered. And I've been up. And I've been down. And I've been back and forth. And so have you probably. But we can't emphasize it enough. The true Christian religion is what Christ done for you. And then only after that, it's what can we do for him. Amen. Lord, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace. And we pray, God, you'd take just a few simple words tonight about your truth and your gospel and your salvation and our security. Lord, I could say it no better way than to say this. Predestination is eternal security. Lord, I thank you for that. I praise you, God, for the plainness and, Lord, the simpleness of this truth. And I pray, God, you'd help each and every person here. Maybe they go home, look at it some more and study some things. And I'm sure everywhere they find anything that's even relative to this conversation, just fall right in place. And I thank you, God, for what you do. For men and women who will search for you and search for your truth in the Word, I trust you with all my heart, God, to teach them and lead them and guide them. And so I pray you'd bless this little time of study here. Thank you, God. I see my pastor standing back there come in during the service. Thank you for that. Thank you and praise you for your goodness. Lord, I thank you, God, for all that you do. Thank you for all you have done. I pray you'd bless the little time that we'll have coming up for prayer requests and such as that. I pray you'd meet every one of them. Pray you'd answer every one of them. I pray you'd have your will be done, God, more than anything. But God, according to the needs of their heart and according to your will, I pray, oh God, you'd answer what's about to be made known. And I thank you and praise you for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray it. Amen.